Welcome to On the Heel Podcast.
Back on the hill.
Back on the hill.
And it's just a dynamic duo.
Yeah, Big E and Little E.
Just for, I think we're episode 22 now.
22 episodes.
2-2 for the two of us.
Two twos. The double deuce, we used to call it back in the day.
And that's a Taylor Swift song.
Is it really?
I'm feeling 22.
For a double deuce? Or she's 22 years old?
Yeah, no. I don't know. Maybe that was her hidden message.
Which one is it really?
No, she's feeling like 22 years old.
Oh.
That's what everyone's like when they turn 22. They're like, I'm in my Taylor Swift year. So we're on our Taylor Swift episode.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Shows you how I'm not into the new pop culture. Or to the current pop culture.
Yeah. I'm not a Swiftie. But if she's listening.
Yeah, if you want to come on the show.
We'll have you on.
You and,
I can become a Swiftie.
You and Kelsey. Is that her boyfriend's name, Kelsey?
I don't even know.
Kelsey.
Oh. Travis. Yeah, Travis Kelsey. Yeah.
Travis Kelsey. Yeah, so he went to the White House and told him if he gets him, apparently 1 year before he got up to the podium when he wasn't supposed to or something.
Oh, when he like.
Yeah.
I saw that. He walked up and said something.
And this year they told him if you come up there, we'll tase you.
They'll tase him?
That's what the Secret Service told him. Yeah. That, I mean, I guess it's true. I mean.
Yeah, you can't be doing that.
I mean, you stand next to whether you like the president or not, you still respect the position of the president.
Yeah. I think he was a class clown.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Yeah, sounds like it. Seems like it. But that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, if he came to the Commanders, I wouldn't.
Yeah, we'll take him.
I probably wouldn't complain.
Come on to the Commanders. So anyway, so we were, you know, we were in episode 22, and I think we had talked about before, like kind of do like a recap of the different episodes. But I'm trying to pull them up, but it's like we started our first episode.
Yeah, what was the first? And if you're a regular listener, obviously we've only had one other episode that didn't have a guest, and that was our pilot episode. Is that right? No. We did imposter syndrome.
Yeah, but check this out. So just by chance, I mean, we didn't plan this, but it was 11 months ago. June 11th, 2023 was our first episode.
Oh, damn.
So we're only at what? Today is what, the 4th or something?
The 6th.
The 6th, damn. So good thing I'm not getting a mental evaluation because I would have failed the bitch.
Within the week.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, we didn't even plan on it, really. Yeah, so, when I worked at Tucker's, the mental health unit, I'm not laughing about that, but one of the ways they tested the patients just to see how cognizant they were was ask them the date and like when who is the president and stuff like that. But every time they would do that, that question, I'd have to look at my phone, look at my watch.
Sure.
I was like, damn, what day is it? So yeah, I would have failed that bitch for sure.
Well, talking about football, I think it was Julian Edelman. He was talking about on punt returns, they would, if one of the guys got hammered on one of the hits, they would run up to him when they're helping him up and tell him the date and the stadium they're in. So when the medical staff came and asked him, like, what's today? Where are you? They would answer. And they'd be concussed because they had incentives to play.
Yeah, traumatic. The TBI protocol.
So they would check him if they knew, but if not, the players wanted to stay in because they had money on the line.
Well, plus they want to play.
That too.
But anyway, so yeah, that was the first one back on June 11th, 2023. And then, let me go through each one real quick.
Yeah.
We didn't really plan on this, but Mr. Wampler.
He was our first guest.
Yeah, T-Bone.
Funny story, we bought our third mic the day that we did that episode.
Yeah, and I wasn't supposed to buy it, but... Because Shelly, his mom, my wife, said we spent too much money on this already. But anyway, we bought it anyway.
So thank you, Tommy, for the short notice.
Tommy, man.
Then he's got a good amount of views on that one, too.
Yeah, he did pretty good on that one. I don't know if we want to talk about
good-looking fella.
Yeah, handsome.
No, yeah, we won't talk about that.
So then had the illustrious and talented Kate Stiles.
Mm-hmm. Her she's business. Come up multiple times.
And apparently, yeah, and like from she's come up multiple times, and apparently she one of our other guests took his wife to her for a session, a portfolio.
Yep. So if you're local and want
Kate Stiles.
Kate Stiles.
The best. I think mom's still going to go on there. She won that draw in that time, but she's not ready to go on yet. You know, remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Then we did the imposter syndrome.
When was that?
10 months ago. So let me look.
So almost 10 months we've done our own episode.
That was July 10th.
That was a good one. And that's going to be kind of on track of what we're going to be getting into for these next episodes.
That's right. Yep. Then we had the top dog on here. I want to say D-Bone, but that don't make any sense. Greenberg, Dr. Greenberg. Mm-hmm. He's been like our number one. He has the lead as far as views and stuff and comments or whatever.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, you know.
Well spoken.
Yes.
Smart. Helps when you have the doctor in front of your name.
DB. Episode 6.
Marcus Bianchi.
Marcus Bianchi.
I remember that one.
Yeah. Then we had the Mr. Corey McCulley.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mr. Hockey.
Hockey man. Yeah, and he got mad when I said, like, he got me on the humbug or something about the Patriots hockey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was just half the stuff he was kidding around about, you know. Of course, it wasn't the humbug, man. I think they're still knocking the puck around, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I see him on Facebook all the time.
Yeah, so good luck. You know, damn, I'm trying to think of the boy's name. Anyway, the guy that started it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
D. Knox, something like that. No, I don't know his real name. We'll look it up.
I'll find it. Keep going.
Then we had episode 8, mm-hmm. the sheriff from Hopewell, Travis Stanley. Cool, Travis dude.
Stanley.
Yeah, he wants to come back on, man. So,
yeah, that was good, too.
Good guy, man. He's helping a lot of people out. He's one of those people that reach back to people that were loyal to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the old days and giving people a new start.
Yep.
And then we had Cody Ray.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I said, hey,
tell your husband thanks for letting us come to the show.
And she's like, well, first of all, my husband don't let me do jack shit. I'm like, bingo.
Another law enforcement.
Yeah. Then we had the assistant chief, Nashayla Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. I think she's
a really good episode, too.
I saw somewhere she's did some presentations lately.
Some professional organizations and stuff, and she's been out doing the presentations.
Some woman power.
That's it. It is woman power, man. Let's just get that straight. I know it's like, I'm not going to get into that. But I was going to say it's Pride Month, but that's cool. But all I wanted to say was I'm a straight dude, and I don't care what anybody does.
Yeah.
As long as you leave the kids out of it, we're good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just do your thing. If you're an adult, knock it down.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, just, you know, leave kids out of it, and what you do is your business. Then we had the, of course, Evan Jones.
Evan Jones.
The dude from, I can't even think of the movie now. Anyway. Oh, man.
Go listen to it.
Go check out episode 11 and tell me what the hell I was talking about. It's a movie with the guy that went crazy over Biden in front of the Trump trial. He's an actor. Can't think of his name. Then we did, I tried to do this words of wisdom thing, and I kind of jacked that up, but it still was pretty good, I guess.
That was good.
Episode 12. With my dad, your grandfather, or Boom Paul, Troy Springer, Skippy.
Skip Springer.
The golden fox. Silver fox.
Silver fox.
Then we had Carter Cundiff on here,
mm-hmm.
one of Kate's associates. Then we had the one and only Will Mayer.
That was a good one. That was an off the hill episode.
Yeah, off the hill. We need to explain that. And we'll let's do all that at the end. He's now a captain in the Hopewell Sheriff's Department. People are like, what? If they had known him back in the day. Then, of course, we had a Colonel Dennis Roller on.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to come back on, too.
Yep.
We had Deputy Nassar. Mm. And we had quite a few episodes on here. Then we had Tamara Wright.
Yep.
Then we had Skip Choate. And that was a good episode. All these are great episodes.
All these are great.
We're not trying to skip through it. Yeah, Tamara, I thought she had such a great story.
Nassar had an awesome story.
Yeah, humble, man. That's kind of what we're talking about.
He's the nicest dude you ever meet.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry to skip through these like that. Yeah, I mean,
Skip Choate.
Forgiveness, man. That was the main thing. Skip Choate, because the one and only, man, he was y'all's band teacher's influence, your lives and direction, still does.
Man of many talents.
Many talents, right. Then we had P.J. Hart, the one and only.
Prince George boy.
Country boy. Ric Flair. Yeah, I mean, he talked about, you know, his surgery, heart surgery, had a heart attack. And came back, and he's back in there. I guess he's a school resource officer now. Might be at North Elementary or something, I think. Is that what it was?
I think he's at North. Or Middle Road, the new one. I can't remember.
Right. Then we had a nationwide, worldwide figure. He was actually, this guy was over in Ukraine. I just saw on Facebook. He's back now. Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman.
Yep.
That's kind of wild how that worked. That's humility there, too.
Yeah.
I just reached out to him on an email and I have reached out to other people who haven't responded, but I mean, he did and came on the show. That was amazing.
Yep. That was a good one to check out.
We appreciate that one. Yeah. Just check him out and check out all his books. And he's got, he's still like a worldwide lecturer. He was in Ukraine doing instructing over there for the Ukrainian army. Then Meredith Prosnick. And that was a great show.
Our latest one.
And she
also country girl. Also, many talents and hunting, fishing.
She's a doctor. She's a chiropractor. Yeah. Not a chiropractor. Geez, physical therapist.
Physical therapist. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So that's pretty cool. I mean, we've been fortunate, and you know, we started off the show really with the idea of just stories, and I think we're going to kind of mix things up on this next year coming up.
Yeah, I think we've both decided the. I mean, the whole time we've been aiming for, like you said, on the hill in a spiritual way, and also getting to the top of the hill if you're not spiritual, or in both ways getting to the peak of your life and bettering your life. And we always talked about climbing the hill is always a battle. Yeah. And we're both educators, and you train recruits, and I was a teacher, and we talked today that we're both good good communicators and good at listening and talking to people, and that's one part that we love about the podcast. And I think we also want to throw in more where it's just our voices and our opinions about stuff, and especially about building a better relationship with yourself and aiming towards a better life, whether it's your motivations, your daily struggles, and hopefully weekly, we're going to start aiming for.
Right, we're going to try
having these shorter episodes that really pinpoint on one specific topic at a time.
Yeah, and that's the reason. You know, we didn't know what we were doing when we came into this, and you know, I've talked to a lot of people in my life as a cop and then as a trainer or at the academy. And now I help people now with, you know, have mental disability. And usually most people, you know, lack some type of purpose and direction. And it depends. Now, you know, when I say, if you think about, you know, purpose and direction in your life, when you're a kid, you just, let's let kids be kids.
Yep.
My daughter, your sister, Megan, she just had, you know, her son, Clifton. Her and Tommy had a baby. And
Two-ton.
Yeah, that's what we call him. But well, you call him. But, yeah, his name is Clifton. And he's just 3 months old now. But you can almost watch, and you'll be a father one day, too, is you see how even at the youngest, the minute he was born, there was a connection between him and Megan, you know, his mother. And it's unspoken. It's innate in us. And that how a child develops from that day forward depends a lot on, obviously, his or her parents. In this case, you know, close to Clifton's a boy. But is that close interaction? But what I'm getting around to is, you know, the first thing a child will do is they mimic what they see other people do. You know what I mean? So if you watch Clifton, he starts to smile now. He'll make eye contact.
Yep.
He knows what people like. He likes to see, he knows if he does, and he's only a 3 months old, and he'll become more keenly aware of this, but that the he will mimic other what his mom and dad do, mostly his mom, because he breastfeeds and he's seeing her face.
Mm-hmm.
And but even with like you and the people he sees most often, he begins to recognize us. And then he knows, and it's not like he's really thinking about it so much as it's a survival skill, you know, because human babies are probably the most, one of the most helpless.
Yep.
You know, human beings are born premature. Yep. All humans are born premature. In other words, if you look at a bird that's born or a squirrel, you know, they're up and moving around or flying or whatever in a day or less, or, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
Now, some bigger birds are different. But my point being is, you know, they pretty much, they don't fend for themselves. For the maturation period for an adult is a lot more than an animal, let's say.
Think about a sea turtle.
Right.
The mom lays her eggs and just, she's gone.
Right, she's gone. And then, yeah, maybe I'm wrong about birds. I didn't want to say a day or two, but it ain't too long.
I think it's, well, look at the ospreys. It takes,
right.
I don't know, a month maybe?
Maybe a month.
And they start staying on the nest and flapping their wings and.
Yeah, so.
But faster than it takes a baby to walk.
Yeah, it takes a baby. You know, so basically, the reason is because our human brain is so big.
Yeah.
And if the infant, the fetus or whatever, and as it develops, of course, the child, if they waited any longer, it wouldn't be able to fit through the birth canal. Mm. So they come out as more helpless. I'm kind of going overboard with the point. But the point being is, you know, they depend on their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they're born with the ideas that they know that the things that they do that people like better their chances of survival.
Yeah.
You know, and more, some of that's just that's innate in them, you know, and then they begin to figure out more and more things.
But that's trust with any pet and even wild animals.
Yeah.
You start to feed them.
That's true.
And they know that that's the source of food and trust. And
that's right.
People who Grandma Moonpaw or grandparents, they hand feed squirrels in their front yard.
Right. Trust and, you know, and good and bad, because then they're going to start coming up, what, you know.
Then all of a sudden it's 20 squirrels.
20 squirrels and then one dude with a gun that don't like squirrels. He's coming, they're coming up for a free acorn and Joker getting up in a 22 round. So.
Yep.
Like that guy you did a service call on, and the guy's like, I done killed like 60 squirrels this month.
Yeah, there's people who do that.
Yeah.
He sits on I don't condone this, but. He sits on his kitchen table, or at his kitchen table, points his, it's either a 22 or it was like a air rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
probably an air rifle, yeah, it makes more sense.
A little pellet gun. And he shoots squirrels with a coffee while he drinks coffee every morning.
Wow.
And, yeah.
How many did he say he got?
He said it had to be in 3 months he had gotten like 60.
Damn. I wouldn't want that many squirrel souls on me, man. That's bad karma, man. I mean,
if squirrels are smart, too. I don't know why they keep coming back.
Damn. If you see your brother drop, man, don't come back for that nut. You know what I'm saying? Don't come back to the crib, man. Maybe not as smart as we think.
Where'd old Richard go?
Richard down.
Richard and his brother and his cousin and
whole fam. Uncle. Yeah. Whole fam. You know.
Hopefully it's all dudes. I don't know. I think it makes you feel a little better.
Wow.
Not killing the female squirrels.
I don't know what he's doing, but yeah.
But he would, anyway. I don't know if it's legal, but he'd feed it to the fox that lives in his backyard. Huh? Yeah. But anyway.
Can't say natural selection.
Not for that.
All right, so I'm not sure. I don't know. We don't plan these things anyway, so we're just kind of going through the process. But
Well, this one we're focusing on. For the future one, on bettering ourselves, and I think we wanted to think about our connections with ourselves and being able to forgive yourself and be honest with yourself.
Yeah,
I
mean,
that's the
so
a key step into understanding your goals and also getting to those goals. Because if you don't love yourself, if you don't put that, you can't set a goal for yourself unless you care about it. And you can't achieve that goal unless you care about yourself. That's kind of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree. Or
when you say love yourself, I'm thinking about when Hart was on here. I'm going to say, tell him the story about thanking your hand.
Yeah. Thank your hands.
So you can love yourself like that too. But we're not talking about that, even though that's okay too. It's like self-discovery, you know. God. Damn. So what I was getting around to, so we're talking about.
Trying to be serious, man.
Yeah, but we're talking about honesty is what we're talking about. Oh, yeah. So, you know, there's all these things out there, self-help, how do we better our lives? How do we do these things? And, you know, what I was getting around with with the baby was, you know, let's let kids be kids, and kids should be playing, and they should be able to use their imagination and pretend. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm saying all that is because nowadays, and this is not what we originally planned on talking about, but, you know, suicide rates are through the roof in this country. You know, 100,000 people or more died of fentanyl overdoses. Even in like first responders and military vets and all that, these suicide rates are up. And even with teens, and while you were a teacher, you taught middle school, elementary and middle school. Yep. Didn't you say, like, even y'all had some suicides there with some...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. My last 2 years we had that I knew of in my school was 3 or 4 attempted suicides.
Well, and their ages were like just, you know,
13.
I mean,
13 to 14.
Yeah. And
since, so I think whatever the percentage was throughout the whole county had tripled since COVID. So
right.
I guess 2 years after COVID when I was there. So they said at the end of the year, countywide, there'd be X amount of kids who were hospitalized. So that's either attempted suicide or...
suicidal plans or ideations.
Yep. And then within the first 6 months, that it was the same as it had been the year before, and a little bit more. So by the end of the year, it was like triple the amount of kids that were hospitalized. And it was all... yeah, I mean, kids were... one tried to kill herself in the bathroom,
right?
Taking drugs, but it was just stuff on social media and had to do with bullying too.
Right, and that's kind of what I'm getting around to. So when I was a kid, the social media didn't exist, and you know, or what we've got now didn't exist. You didn't have a computer in your hand and could instant communication / instant gratification, plus the pressures of trying to be the Instagram model and all these other things. But if we can let kids be kids, and I think hopefully some legislation will come up soon to limit the access for children to the internet, to the social media sites and so forth. And the reason I'm saying all that is because a kid has no idea what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we have kids that are I think that's all in the news, like an 8-year-old had committed suicide.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, what the hell does an 8-year-old know about suicide? Mm-hmm. Now, no parent sits down and talks to their kid about suicide at 8 years old.
No.
So, and I mean, I'm sure there's one, but let's just say there's none for the most part, less than a percentage. So they're getting this stuff from. We'll take a break real quick. Having a technical problem.
That's just the market was at. Yeah.
All right. So what we're saying was, you know, no parents are talking to. We're back with this. We had, you know, we got our own. We don't have like Joe Rogan. We don't have our own personal IT cat. But if you want to volunteer, come on in. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is this: they're getting it from social media, okay, and through these make believe sites, because they're not reality. Kids are, you know, making up, they think by these certain ages they should be doing these certain things. And it's not appropriate.
Yeah.
And they're seeing too much negative things on, like, you can pull up YouTube and watch somebody be murdered.
Mm.
You can watch somebody probably commit suicide or how to commit suicide. It's all these things. And if we could slow that down and get back to the basics, that's what I'm getting around to.
Yeah.
And that's up to the parents to monitor that. So, you know, don't let your kids be on social media. Limit their time or take that shit away. You know, I work with some kids who are all autistic, and they will literally spend and this is the parents' fault. They get out of school. They're on, you know, some kind of game that involves killing. What's it called? What's some of the games?
Call of Duty, Fortnite.
Yeah, one of those two, right? Call of Duty or Fortnite. And you know, the kid's like, you know, watch this. I'm gonna kill this guy. And I'm just like, and I was like, why are you playing that, man? You know, mm-hmm. I can't ask him that, but I'm asking. Literally, we asked the parents, what's going on with this? Yep. You don't think that's shaping their mind?
Yeah, and it just seems so normal. And I think it causes people to be more reckless too, because in all these video games like GTA, Call of Duty, you're always going to respawn. You're always going to, is what they call it. You're always going to come back.
Right, you come back. You come back from the you're reformed or whatever. Right?
Yeah, it's called respawn. And no matter what, you're going to come back and play again. And I think that's causing people to go out and do more reckless things and not think about
they don't know what reality is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what it's called. So you're not really, are you killing somebody? What's the term for that?
Yeah, I mean, if you're killing somebody and they respawn on the back of the map and then you kill them again.
Right, right. I don't know if they used the word kill, but I guess they
did. Oh, yeah. In Call of Duty, there's a whole, it's called KD, it's kill-death ratio.
Oh.
So you want to have more kills than deaths.
Wow, okay. Well, imagine a 12-year-old doing that, mm-hmm. or a 10-year-old, whatever the age group, and you're sitting here thinking, I'm thinking as a grandfather now, as a parent too, is like, you guys weren't allowed to do that shit.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't get to play shooting games till later.
You might have been in high school, I think. Close to it, you and...
in the middle. Yeah, I think
you
it was.
And David.
Yep.
Maybe eighth grade or something like that.
And then David's parents, they were even...
Worse than...
Strict. Yeah, more strict than that.
Yeah, it was unheard of. We just didn't approve of it. But anyway, I still don't approve of it. But anyway.
I still play video games, Call of Duty and stuff, and it is like just a norm.
Yeah,
you have a headset on, and you're just shooting people for hours, and it just seems like it's totally normal, which is not normal,
right? Yeah, it's you know, like today, and we don't want to always date things, but today is the 80th anniversary of D-Day.
Mm-hmm.
So you know they've had guys that they lied about how old they were to go into the military.
Yeah,
and I think you know it was like. Man, I don't want to misquote it, but thousands of Americans killed, 29,000, I think 106 missing in action. And yeah, that's real. These games aren't real. And I think you're right. They're desensitizing people.
Yep. Let's see. More than 5,000 wounded.
Yeah, let me see.
Hold on. More than 4,400 Allied troops died on the first day of the invasion, including 2,500 Americans. But, no, I agree with the, like you had said, and we actually had the honor of seeing Dr. Jordan Peterson in person for your third time.
Yeah.
And me and my brother-in-law, Tommy, it was our first time listening to him speak. And something he had said, how... Younger, I think he was saying kids under the age of 3 to 4, especially toddlers, they live their life based off of just instinct.
Sure. Like
they cry when they're hungry, or they cry when they have a dirty diaper, and they go to sleep, wake up, poop, pee, and it's just that's their life growing up. And then, like you said, Clifton's starting to see faces and see, you know, people that he trusts and kind of building his own. He's only, like you said, 3 months, but he's already turning into like a little person now, it seems like.
Yeah.
And I've seen the same with my my other nephew on my wife's side. He does, I mean, he's almost 2 years old now, and he's running around, and now he's talking.
Right.
But he's now starting to realize things that he wants instead of things that he physically needs. I mean, he wants to play, or he wants the ball, or he wants the water. And like you said, with kids on these social media and the video games, it's like that's instead of playing outside and, you know, playing football or whatever it is, just like shaping their minds, it's like, I mean, when I was teaching these kids, like, all they thought about was getting home and playing whatever it was.
Right.
Playing Fortnite, and it was aimed – that's the bad thing, is it's aimed at that younger age group, because – especially Fortnite, because it's all these – like, you can wear skins, and it's different, like, basically costumes you put – your character puts on. But it's all stuff that they're interested in. There's seasons that change every couple months, so there's always something that you're working on, building on. So, I mean, it is addictive, and they make it that way, so –
it's addictive on purpose.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, you know, your friends level this and they're level this, so they feel like they got to play more to catch up. And it was, I mean, it's fun, but for the young mind, they still don't know. I think some of that, instead of the instincts taking over, it's that need and want. They can't decipher that yet. And they want to play, but in their heads, like, they need to play the games tonight. They need to stay up till midnight to beat this level. And
that's their reality.
And that, yeah, for them, that's the only thing they have to worry about. And that's the biggest thing in there.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying about it is it's not by accident that these games are developed that way. And it makes people money. For parents, it serves as a babysitter. And for these kids, that maybe a kid's bullied or he's not an athlete, or because how is he going to be? He's not even outside trying. He's not learning a skill. He's not learning to use his body and all that. Him or her, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that becomes their life. And they live a fake reality through these characters that aren't even real, you know. And then in the process, we don't even know what it's doing to their brains overall.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that – so back, I know we're kind of jumping around now, here.
I'll play devil's advocate, and if it's monitored and you only play, like, I know growing up, like, I wasn't allowed to play video games all night.
No,
especially on, like, school nights and stuff, and y'all would let me play for 30 minutes or an hour, and then eat dinner and then go to bed. Like, that was it.
Yeah, simple.
But I do. I mean, there are games out there that I think it does help with. Obviously muscle memory, because you're doing the same controls, but I think it helps with fine motor skills. Controllers are so small. This is something I read too. But fine motor skills, it's a big problem solving, especially in young minds. I mean, things like Minecraft and what's the other one? I can't remember. But that's what a lot of the younger kids were playing when I was teaching elementary school. Jeez. And you'd go on... They'd show you their Minecraft, and they would have built, like, cities.
Yeah.
And it's like I could never do that, and it's like a six-year-old. And they're sitting there just going through and showing you all the stuff. And it does – I mean, that part of it, something like that, that's creative. And they could build whatever they wanted to. Right. They would have their own cities. And then their friends, they could jump over to other islands and go visit
their
stuff. So I think – that fact, it does help with the mind to, what do you call that? Mind to hand connection?
Yeah, hand eye coordination.
There it is.
Problem solving skills. Yeah, but see, then on the flip side, you know, the other part of this is people don't know how to interact.
Yeah.
You know, so you take somebody.
In person.
Right, in-person interactions. That's what I'm trying to say. So face-to-face interaction and how to communicate with a live human being is and that all really started also during COVID. When, you know, you had these kids out of school, you had them wearing a mask, which, by the way, they have now discovered all that shit was just made up. You know, they've had Dr. Fauci on the Hill, which is not our Hill. That'd be interesting. Have him on the Hill. I don't think he'll come. But on the Hill and you know, in front of Congress. And, you know, he said, yeah, he just made that up. There's no sign, the 6 feet, you know. And also the mask thing, that was they didn't know if that shit was going to work. And they even had a tape of him saying the regular masks that everybody was wearing were ineffective. But, you know, kids are paying the price for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the suicide rate. And all these things are connected in a way, in the fact that
without a personal connection with another human being, we're social creatures. We need other human beings to interact with. Mm-hmm. And when we don't interact with people, and I don't mean through a TV screen, I mean face-to-face interaction. And you lose that skill. It's like anything has to be maintained, including you have to learn. I remember one time Megan was talking about she had to teach a kid how to hold a pencil to write. And I was like, damn, I can't. That's pretty amazing. I just always, you know, somebody has to show you how to hold a pencil, mm-hmm. you know, to write your name or write whatever. And now we don't even write anymore. Now we just use a keyboard, you know. So, and this is kind of what I'm getting around to is if we could go back to the basics for a lot of things, there's a lot of benefit from sitting down, learning how to write your name down, and because you're actually creating something on a piece of paper. And that's fine motor skills actually practically applied. Because mm-hmm. somebody said, well, you're learning how to type, you know, on a keyboard. But there's a more direct connection between the written word. Like if people are studying, they like to write things out so they don't forget, and it helps them memorize things. That physical movement. And also what they found is like helping people with anxiety and depression is if they write out their thoughts mm-hmm. instead of trying to figure it all out in their head and not even typing it on a keyboard, but writing it out on a piece of paper is more powerful than just typing.
Yeah. When I was studying and memorizing stuff, that writing it out helped me a lot.
Right.
Like flashcards, but then I would just write the same thing over and over again.
Well, and that writes it
into your brain.
You know, right. And that's the connection with yourself. And this is kind of where we're trying to get to is the connection with yourself begins as a kid. And how you interpret your environment. If you're interpreting it through a game, through a false narrative or a false world, that's not real. Thus, your view of the world is not real. You understand? Mm-hmm. So when we take that part out of people's lives, no wonder they can't freaking function. No wonder kids are depressed. No wonder kids are committing suicide. No wonder people are using fentanyl, and they don't know what the hell they're doing or what direction they're going in.
Yeah.
So that's why I was trying to get back to build to this part where a kid, the first thing they'll do is they can't talk, but guess what they'll do when they want something? Of course, maybe they'll cry, but also what else do they do? They point at it.
Yeah. It's like they motion at it.
Yeah. They like, you know, like there's, you know, mama's, you know, breast or something because I'm not being funny because they breastfeed. Or maybe they point at the freaking bottle. You know,
or at a toy or a ball or something.
Yeah, that's what they want, right? Because they can't say ball, so they point at the shit. Mm-hmm. And then guess what? We're pointing beings. We're animals that hunt. That's how our innate ability comes from. We're hunters and gatherers. Now, most people don't have to hunt anymore. Everything's given to us. But in us is that hunter. You understand what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. So the idea that we point at something and we have to go to a point to either we're pointing at a target to shoot with an arrow at the most primitive form or throw a spear, or we're going to another place to find other animals. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the oldest stories before we had the written language, they were like stories. The stories were actually directions to the hunting land or the next water hole or something.
Yeah, yeah.
They told them in stories so people
would pass it on.
And would remember. Right. Yeah, this is how deep this shit is. So without a point, without direction, we're fucking lost. That's what I'm trying. This was this whole thing we're trying to get to. But you know, and I would say this to these kids and adults rather in the recruit class, and they're like, why is this fucking dude's off the? You know, he's a nut job. I'm like, no, because everything you do has to have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about what Jordan Peterson is. He said, no discussion can begin without a question. You know, and
no inquiry can
begin without an honest question, and it has to be a good question. And you know, and I think we're questioning the point of the podcast and where it's going. So we're hoping that we can have like more discussions than, and also still have people come in and tell their life stories or share experiences. But we also want to discuss topics.
Yeah,
and this one's kind of is gone. Really, what it's about is, without being honest with yourself, and a lot of that's going to be determined in how you were raised and who raised you and how honest they were with themselves as mm-hmm. parents.
Yep.
And what their intent were as to how you're going to be as that teenager and then young adult.
Yep.
That's what I'm trying to get around to. You know, so, and something else Jordan Peterson always says is, if you're somebody always says the terrible twos is actually the terrible threes, because now they know they want things and they think they want everything, right? And then by if they don't know by the age of four how to share,
mm-hmm.
then he said they're pretty much screwed for life.
Yeah. Those are the criminals and the...
Yeah. Because you got to share to be able to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's amazing. If you're locked in a freaking room all day playing a video game, this stuff, it agitates me, man. And you've never interacted with other kids and you don't learn how to freaking share, you're done.
Yeah.
You're the freaking, 30-year-old guy living in your mom's basement planning the next school shooting or some dumb shit. I mean, it...
To the extreme.
That's the extreme. Yeah. Or, you're on YouPorn all day and, you can't even get out of bed. Your mom can't come down to your downstairs to check on you. Have you clean? you're 30 fucking years old, right?
Don't take a black light down there, mom.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, your mom's come down the steps and you're down, doing your thing. And it's like, bro, do you ever take a break from this? I don't know what the hell that came from. But, yeah, that's the worst shit I can think of, I guess.
Yeah, I think that is the extreme. And I'm going to keep playing devil's advocate with the video games too, though.
Well, let me ask you this. So,
because to the extreme, yes. But also, some of the best times I've had with friends is on online playing video games too.
Maybe so, yeah. Well, I don't even play the shit, so I'm biased.
Yeah. Because, if you're in a four of your best friends or in a... It doesn't matter what game it is.
Well, you could the magic of it is you could be anywhere. You could be at your home and they're in their house, or they could be in California and you're playing the same game, right?
Yeah. I mean, not too long ago, we haven't had JC on here yet, but we're going to get him on here too. But he was in Georgia. We had a friend in a station in California and then someone else, and we're all playing at the same time, like 3 or 4 hours.
That's magic, playing. Yeah.
And I mean, I also, growing up too, and I think this is lost is the multiplayer where you play with multiple people in person, the split screen stuff is all that's all gone.
That doesn't happen no more.
They have in some games, but it's mostly the online stuff. Oh. So you're not sitting next to each other. But I remember playing we would play racing games.
You did a race game. I did do that.
Yeah. And we played Madden and football. Yeah. And when you're sitting next to somebody, that changes it too.
It is fun. Yeah, I agree with that. That was fun. Yeah, I did do racing games. I was never into the shooting
stuff.
Yeah, or the killing or whatever. I mean, not that I'm some kind of moral high ground. I just, I don't know.
I don't know how that got the norm. There's another game. I mean, there's so many games that I don't play, but one game I think you would like. It's called Red Dead Redemption, but it's all West. It's what's like a Western scene.
Oh wow!
And you play. I never played actually, which is crazy. It's one of the number one games in the world. But you play this Western guy and you go through town to town. It's an open world, and there's still challenges you do, but it is historical too.
Oh, okay,
so
some history involved in it.
But it is true. I don't know how some of the biggest games are. Obviously, Madden, FIFA, the sports games. Then there's GTA, which is all about... I'm in a weird spot. My voice started echoing right there.
I heard that, yeah.
GTA, which is all about stealing cars and...
Oh, that's still out there?
Oh, yeah.
Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto, yeah. And it's, robbing banks and power-hungry money. And
that's still a popular one.
Mm-hmm. And then for whatever reason... I don't know why the war games are so popular, but
well, I mean, I can tell you why. If you,
yeah.
I'm not a freaking. I mean, who mostly plays video games?
Men,
right, and men are warriors.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, that's innate in us. I mean, that's when people are like, oh my god, this is the patriarchy. It's all this kind of crazy shit. But yeah, men are men.
Well, the part you would like is in all these. Imagine you just said it. Imagine 12 dudes.
Oh, I get it, man.
In a lobby, all strangers, and you just got off a game where either one team got stomped or – because you see each other's names above their heads, right, too. Right. So you know who's in the game. And in some of these, like, pregame lobbies or after a game, you have 12 dudes just, like, yelling at each other, cussing each other out.
Okay,
just,
yeah, like, that'd be fun. Yeah, I can see that.
Like, that part of it, like, that's some of the funnest things is, like, especially if you have a team of people and you know,
yeah,
well, you're going back and forth with
particularly
people.
If you play with the same folk.
Yep.
Well, I mean, see, that's this is what I'm trying to get around to is like, like a conspiracy theory. I mean, if you build a fake world where people are happy and they don't face their real troubles,
mm-hmm.
their real troubles are never answered. And in times of crisis, those real troubles still exist. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm getting around to.
Yeah.
Now, is it healthy? I mean, you and I listen to a lot of different podcasts, and these guys are, you know, very smart people. But a lot of those guys are huge video fans, you know, video game fans, and a lot of the even the military guys, and you know, even the sports heroes, they love playing video games. Like, yep. I'm talking about like, you know, superstars now. They like it. It's all. I get it. I'm just not part of it in a sense because. It's just not. I'm a different generation. So I mean, I'm cognizant of that fact. My problem with it is when you're doing this stuff with these kids, mm-hmm. and the it's like a social phenomenon. And it's almost like a social hysteria, where kids are acting out the shit that they're seeing on TikTok, and they think that's real life. So now we've jumped from video games to social media, but what I'm getting around to is there's no freaking way an 8-year-old is thinking about suicide. So if we went back prior to these times, are 8-year-olds committing suicide? Maybe. At what rate is the suicide rate of teens is astronomical now. It's mm-hmm. the number one cause of death, right, other than fentanyl, I believe.
Yep.
For 18 to 45-year-old, drug overdose is number one, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then suicide.
At least top three.
Yeah, top three. And then maybe, you know, murder depends, you know, homicide, but or vehicle accidents.
I was gonna say, I think for boys, it's driving too.
Yeah, so overdose, driving, suicide, and then maybe we're wrong, but I don't think we're wrong. We can take a look at it. But what I'm trying to get around to is before anybody wants to do anything as they mature and get older, you know, they like, I want to save the planet. And I guess my thought is just work on your own self first.
Yeah.
You know, and that takes that honest self inventory where you look at your own self, your position in your home, in your family, in your community. And then within that small culture, and then you go from there forward. So until you're honest with yourself, you know, don't point your finger at anybody else.
Yeah. And just going back, and I'm pretty sure, yeah, 1.5 million adolescents and young adults 10 to 24 died in 2021. That's 4,500 every day. That's just an average. But in injuries and deaths, the top are road traffic injuries, drowning, interpersonal violence, and then it's self-harm, and then drugs.
Okay. Well,
and early onset of substance abuse is obviously higher risk for all of those. But, yeah, pretty much everything we said.
Yeah, man, I had the right order, so we're sorry about that. But if I'm – yeah, I'll keep rubbing my eyes. I've got, like, a sinus. My sinus are killing me, bro. I've been struggling. So if people are like, what the hell's wrong with me? I'm not, like, high or something. I'm just – never a thought. Yeah, I mean, my sinuses, whatever's going on, man. I've been struggling the last couple of weeks.
I know your side effect is you rub your eyes.
Rub my eye, getting nervous. So yeah, but all right, so we're kind of jumping around, but I what I'm trying to say is this. So let me just say like the easiest way to say it. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you were I think you were raised this way, you know. When I talk to people nowadays, like, and the number one thing we're trying to get with people to do is, and let's say they're depressed or anxious, is first you're not the only person.
You know, yeah.
Everybody suffers anxiety and stress and all that, and you're not alone. You're not crazy, okay? Because if you're worried about being crazy, you're probably not crazy, right?
Yeah.
And
if you're crazy, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, most people are if you're seeking help, that's the best. That's the very first step. You got a problem, you need help, and you're reaching out for help. But, you know, you got to have a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You got to eat at least 3 meals a day.
That fuel.
Yeah, you got to, you know, wake up in the morning, go to bed at the same time if you can. Of course, I know people work. Eat at least 3 meals a day. Do some kind of exercise where you can relieve some stress that way. And then the other part of it is to identify your thoughts that are negative or unrealistic.
Yep.
And realize your worst enemy is yourself. Most people are harder on themselves than they are anybody else. And we, guess what? We know all our own secrets. And we know all of our sins, you know?
So, and we're our worst critics too.
Yeah, we have.
Which doesn't help.
Yeah, because we're like, okay, well, I know I did this. I don't want anybody to find out. I'm like, you know, your word or whatever the hell it is. Or, you know, you whatever, make it up. I mean, people do any kind of stuff. But guess what? You don't have to tell everybody all your secrets.
Mm-mm.
That's number one. Number two, you know, make that amends with yourself. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean like people that are, like if you're a pedophile or hurting kids, as far as I'm concerned, just, yeah. Even Jesus said in the Bible, those that harm, something along those lines, anyone who harms the young ones who seek me are better to have a millstone tied around their neck and cast into the sea.
Well, hey,
and that's from Jesus.
If he said it, then yeah.
What are you going to say, right? So not all sins are forgivable. But anyway, short of that, like somebody, they asked me, you know, is there anybody you won't work with? I'm like, yeah, pedophile.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
You know. And I'm not talking about the guy who was at a bar and he's legal age and somebody has a fake ID. It looks like they're 25, but they're really like 18. I'm not talking about, or 17 or 16. I'm talking about somebody that preys on kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, hell has a place.
Scum of the earth right there.
Hell's coming. Hell's got a special place for you. Well, but then right behind that is the person who hides behind religion and uses religion as a tool to manipulate people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a pedophile, but they're. I don't think God's going to like that one either.
No. Well, I was going to say being honest with yourself, and people say it all the time. It's like, you know, I don't work out because I don't have time. I'm too tired in the morning, this and that. But like you said, you know your own truths about yourself. And deep down, I mean, if it's laziness or if it's just.
You know the answer.
Yeah. Or if you're, you know, oh, I don't have time to go to the gym today, but. After dinner, you sat on your phone for
or you played a video game,
or played a video game, or and I wasn't texting, I was typing something.
I don't give a shit.
Because I was trying to remember something Jordan Peterson had said about sacrifice. That was what his whole talk.
Yeah,
was
the topic about. Was sacrifice.
About sacrifice, but he was not his exact words, but he said to get to anything worth doing or worth achieving is you're going to have to make sacrifices. Or there's going to be some sort of hardship involved.
Yes.
And tying back into the, even what I just said, going to the gym or putting yourself on a schedule or putting yourself on the diet you've been trying to get on. I mean, you're going to have to make sacrifices.
That's right.
You're going to have to put time aside to meal prep. You're going to put time aside to go to the gym for an hour, and you might have to cut out things that you want to do. But what I was thinking, some of the things, and I think that's what, as a kid, I mean, you don't really have to go to the gym. You don't have to pay for anything, whatever. But as an adult, when I get home, it's easy to say, I'm looking forward to getting on the game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And you put everything else aside, and after 2 or 3 hours, you get done. And you don't want to get off, but you know you have to go to sleep. So at that point, you're like, well, okay, well, now I have work tomorrow. And then reality hits. Like you said, you come out of that world, and all of a sudden, at least this is how I feel. You get off, you get done playing, you turn it off, you're not talking to your friends anymore, and you're just like, you're like back to reality. And then you're all of a sudden, you're like, damn, at that point, you're like, I just wasted 3 hours. I didn't get anything done.
Exactly.
Like it was fun, but now. It seemed a lot more fun 3 hours ago. And now I'm tired. I didn't pack my lunch for tomorrow. I didn't set my clothes out. I didn't. Now I'm going to be tired in the morning because I stayed up late.
Yep.
But on the flip side, the things that you don't want to do, there's been a few times, but I've never really got done working out and been like, damn, I wish I didn't work out today.
Exactly.
You always feel better after you work out. Or when you spend the extra time to get your stuff out ready for the next day, and you wake up the next morning and you're like, it's a lot easier getting ready because everything's ready for me because you planned it, you scheduled it. And in the long run, like there was a big chunk where, everyone's done it where I keep using working out because that's what everybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they think I'm a better myself. I'm going to go to the gym. But there's been long stints where you work out for a long time and you look back and you're like, damn, I did lose 10 pounds or I did gain muscle. And
yep.
You don't look back at that and like put it down because it was hard work and it was something you didn't want to do at first. But right. After 2 years of playing a video game, you're like, hey, I reached platinum level.
Right. That's exactly. So think about it. You know, the way you said it sums it all up.
Yeah.
And this is such a great example. Nobody regrets going to the gym. Nobody regrets spending time with their wife or their mother or their family when they're supposed to or their kids. You know, but they particularly if they're doing meaningful things.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
I got another perfect example.
Go ahead.
It's, and you've quit drinking.
Yeah.
But I could look forward to, I'm on call this weekend, but you say, oh, I can't wait till Friday night. Like, I'm hanging out with my friends. We're going to the bar. It's going to be awesome. And when you're there, it's fun and you're having a good time. And then always next morning, you always wake up. You're like, well, I'm never drinking again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, reality hits. And I think that's a great way of saying it. When reality hits and you haven't done the work, then shit sucks.
Yeah. Especially when you're hungover and a whole day's wasted.
Yeah. I mean, so when you go out drinking Friday night, you just didn't waste Friday night. Well, you had fun Friday night, but then you also fucked up Saturday.
Spent money.
Yeah. And then you might be.
Could have made a bad choice.
Yeah. That's how my shit went was. We don't get into all that, but I mean, it would fuck up, you know, 4 or 5 days of the week, you know, because mm-hmm. you're fighting a hangover, you're fighting anxiety, but at the end of the day, you still have the same problems that you've never addressed to begin with.
Yeah.
And that's my whole point is, until you're ready to look at yourself, and I don't expect kids to do this because, I mean, they're kids, but you get middle age, you know, in your mid-20s, and you're looking for a purpose and direction in life. Well, here's the problem. When you get out of high school, everybody thinks you need to make a decision. And I'll just use you and Megan as an example. We were like, hey, look, we want you to go to college. We save money up. We're going to pay for it. You always want to be like a mechanic or something. And then you started studying music and stuff. And you said, hey, I want to influence people's lives. And I'll use music as a way to do it. And then when you started going to school for music, we had these naysayers that and members of our family, you ain't going to be able to do anything with a music degree. And I finally had to tell them, hey, do you mind shutting the fuck up? Because I just want my son to get this freaking degree.
Yeah.
Because it's something nobody can ever take away from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you use your degree, you taught, and then you decided you wanted to do something else. And that's it. But there's no way an 18-year-old knows what they want to do for the rest of their lives. And we told you, don't worry about it.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah. And we're like, dude, you don't have to freaking know that answer mm-hmm. anyway. Because who the fuck knows the answer anyway? I don't, dude, I'm 55 years old. I'm still thinking, what do I want to do with my life? You know, and I'm thinking, well, shit, I'm running out of time, you know. But, I mean, if you are willing to always learn and grow, your life never ends.
Yeah.
There's always opportunities, you know. And how, do you make the right choices every time? But let me stop. Going to the bar and drinking and doing, you know, dumb shit, that's not the right choice. We all know that. We instinctively, we know that. Playing a video game for 3 hours, instinctively, we know that's a waste of time. But like you said, when you go to the gym and you spend time at the gym and you're done, you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
There's an inner voice in all of us that knows right from wrong, unless you're a sociopath. And there's less than, you know, there's people that really don't even exist. It's such a small percentage of people. But what people do is this. They follow the crowd and they worry about what other people think. So then they want their lives to mirror this make-believe world. Mm-hmm. On social media. So this is what I was going to say. So we would sit in a classroom with 30 recruits of they want to be cops.
Yeah.
And it's all right, unless I was talking about being a drunk, but let's just talk about this. I would ask them,
Have you considered the fact you may have to take somebody's life today? Mm-hmm. When you go to work, because not in the academy, probably not. But once you graduate, ask yourself that question first.
Yeah.
Are you prepared to take a life? Because that's what the public expects. And they're like, well, I got into law enforcement to help people. And that's cool. That's beautiful. But make you need to go home tonight and talk to yourself. And you also need to talk to people in your family. What if you do have to do that? Because it's not just the taking of the life. It's everything else that's going to come with it.
Yep.
You can make all the right decisions, but now you're all over the nightly news. But let's just get to the basic instinct of this. But let's just say you're like a weak person, you know, mentally and physically weak. And I'm not saying you can't improve. And you get into a struggle of life and death with somebody who's bigger and stronger than you, but you've never made that conscious decision that you will do whatever you need to do to survive, right? Mm-hmm. And now you're getting fucking handled, yep. Right? And now your only other option in a situation that really could have just been a smaller level, a lesser level of force, like maybe hands-on, OC, or taser, you're so out of shape and unprepared mentally and physically that now the only option is to use your firearm and kill somebody?
Yeah.
You, in a sense, generated and created that circumstance.
Yep.
By you being unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a serious situation. That's why I'm trying to use that as the worst. That's such a serious example. But you could just go back to any example with less severe consequence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to try to do something and you should first, you know, make an educated decision about what you want to do by knowing yourself and knowing your strengths and weaknesses. And by identifying those, you can work on those.
Yeah.
Don't blame the world for your fucking weaknesses.
Yeah.
Work on them. Ask for help. Learn as much as you can about it. And then try to, you know, incrementally improve. I know I'm getting riled up about it because this is the shit I'm passionate about. But, you know, don't blame everybody else for your shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't think that the world is going to change for you because it's not.
Yeah, you change. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, the world's not going to change. You may these people are like, well, I'm going to change the world. No, you're not. Now, and people are like, oh, you're such a dick. No, start with yourself, man. Start with your own little world. Everybody's not your enemy. You're making an enemy of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You would like people. I am this, and you will believe in this. I was like, I think I'm. Get to believe in what I want to believe in. Now, I respect your right to believe in whatever you want to believe. Just don't infringe upon my rights.
Yeah.
To believe what I want to believe. We can all have a mutual conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I should be able to sit here with somebody that has a totally different view than me, and we should be able to talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't have to agree at all, but we, at the end of the day, we should be able to shake hands and walk away.
Yeah.
Now, it's not like that. It's like, you don't believe in this, then you're a whatever.
Yeah.
And it's all fake.
I think it's always been like that, but
it's easier to
hide behind a keyboard and
right. Well, that's the other part. You couldn't communicate like that. I could say what I want on a keyboard to you,
yeah,
with no consequence.
That is true. You're not gonna get punched in the face,
right? We're sitting face to face, and I'm looking at you like, but that's pretty big, dude. I don't want this fucking dude to hit me. So maybe I might want to say it a little bit nicer.
Yeah,
and that's what we're missing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you got people that, you know, understand that this country was built upon freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all these things, and we're not allowing people to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to go too far with this, but because we might get banned from, you know, YouTube or something, but, you know, to me, the next biggest threat for us as a culture is going to be, we already got video games, you know, shaping people's lives, and don't think that they're not trying to shape them. Through the games, obviously. Somebody's smart enough to know that. But the other part of it is when this AI takes over,
mm-hmm.
or comes up, that's going to be the next God. Because people are like, well, AI says this.
Yeah. It's not always right.
Hell no, it's not always right.
I saw a whole video. I saw a whole video of a guy we're trying to outsmart the AI. And it'll just start spitting out incomplete sentences. And
well, imagine this. So
things that aren't true. Yeah, just to
Well, we got people like AI is going to, you know, make things easier. It's like, well, AI is going to take a lot of people's jobs too. Yep. You know, so you think that, am I going to ask my stockbroker or am I going to ask the computer that can analyze facts in microseconds and give me the best stock?
From the past
1,000 years. Yeah. Whatever. Not that we have had a stock market for 1,000 years, but essentially it could.
Yeah.
You know, and now people are like, well, we'll let that make. decisions for our government and all this kind of stuff. It's like, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
You got to have a soul, you know, and that's the things about us, and this is about the religious part, is there's so many things about human beings we have no idea how they exist or where it comes from.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a simple example. You know, courage, love, respect, dignity, and all those things you have for other people. It's like nobody can emulate that on a computer. Mm-hmm. Now, they'll say, oh, well, one day it will think for itself. Like, dude.
Well, it's going to emulate what we've always done.
Right.
It's not going to have its own.
What people put into it.
Yeah.
And what's the bias of the person that put into it?
Well, there's plenty of movies about it.
Yeah, but I just want to say it. You know, it's like you, the human being on the planet, and the spirituality and what makes us human are those things: our conscience, our souls, our ability to forgive, our ability to love other people, of course, the ability to hate other people. So everything has an opposite and equal reaction.
Yeah.
And you know, until you learn to control yourself and you're honest with yourself, you're bumping along this hoping other people will make way for you when you should make your own way without harming other people. I mean, I'm not saying like in the military. I'm talking about you should be able to go in your life and try to do your best with the best intent to do well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we fail and get pissed and all that? Yeah, sure we do. But until you know yourself and you do that moral self-inventory, you're
kind of lost.
Yeah, you're not being honest with yourself. And can you make mistakes? And can there be a fork in the road? Sure. But all the work you put into that point hadn't been a waste of time because you've learned something from it.
Yeah. The journey up the hill, man.
That's the journey. You know, and that is, you know, of course, that's, you know, we have freedom of religion, but our country was founded on Christian values. And to me, the most powerful one is bear your burden, you know, and climb the mountain, climb the hill. But that doesn't mean everybody else wants to do that. Most people want things given to them.
Yeah, they want the shortcut.
Yeah, and the shortcut.
That's what AI does.
It is a shortcut, yeah.
Because you can type up a whole paper. Well, AI will do it for you.
Yeah, so, you know, imagine you're...
I've used it for... See, I think everything we've talked about in... what's it called? In small little pieces are fine. Like if you use AI the right way, if you play video games...
Right, all in moderation.
In moderation. Same with... Everybody says with, you know, all these new diets and stuff. If you just eat everything... You're supposed to eat, even if the things that you like to eat in moderation, you can still eat it. You don't have to cut stuff out,
right?
Unless you're allergic to it, or if, you know, if it's alcohol or drugs, yeah, but, things like that. But I mean, I've used it to ideas for different papers or you're doing a format you've never done before. You just use it for, you know, as long as you don't plagiarize.
Right,
I think that's what people are doing.
No, I agree with you.
You just type in, you know, make me or type me a paper about this and that, and you just copy and paste it. And I don't know, when I was in school, I didn't have the ChatGPT and all the, that's the big AI thing right now. And but if we typed a paper and we copy and pasted anything from any website, the teacher could use. I can't remember what it's called, but I know like Google Docs has it built in now. When I was teaching, you could use it, and you click the button, and it would find anything over a couple words. If it was even if it was one sentence, it would trace it back to the source, so you could see if kids were copy and pasting things.
We know they have it now, obviously.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if you get AI to do it. It's unique to that to your question. I don't think you can go back and trace that.
Right.
Maybe you can. I don't know.
Well,
I just think.
Let me ask you a question.
I just know people who've done it.
Yeah.
Do it now and is.
Well, here's the problem.
Getting A's in classes for things that they don't do.
This is everything we're talking about. A person who has a moral and ethics aren't going to do that.
That's true.
They're not going to use
They may use it to help them find a topic, but they're not going to have it write their paper because they know it's morally and ethically wrong. But then here's an even better question. Does the teacher really want to know if you use AI, or they just want to get you through the class? See,
that should be a whole thing right there.
See, you know, here's the problem.
Because that's, yeah. Here's I could go on about that. That whole
right
problem with the school system is pushing kids through.
Yeah, you turn a blind eye to it. And when you turn a blind eye to it, it's just like, you know, in order for evil men to succeed, good men need to stand by and do, and it's, good men stand by and do nothing. I think either Martin Luther King or John F. Kennedy or somebody said that. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a culture now where you know something. The people who are lying are getting the free pass. People are telling the truth are getting hammered.
Oh, yeah. What was bad when – I'll use this one example for school. If you have the kids who are in school every single day and they – since they're there and not getting in trouble, they have to do every homework assignment, every quiz, every test, and there's this bar set for them because of, you know, their parents. And,
that's right, yeah. Right.
And all of a sudden, if they start slipping, it's like, whoa, well, why are you getting C's and D's all of a sudden? And anyway, and then you have the kids who are, if you get into a fight, you're not expelled, you're suspended for 10 days, and then you come back and next week, you get caught with whatever and you're out for another 10 days. These kids are, with their absences, they have to make up a certain amount of work before the grading period, and they would just give them packets of work.
Right.
And they said, if you complete this packet in 2 weeks, then you'll get a passing grade for the class. And whether or not they learned it or not, who did the packets?
Right.
It's all, you can find it online anywhere.
Yeah.
I've done... I handed out worksheets and I Googled answers to whatever and it was right there, and you can find it anywhere.
Yeah.
But those are the kids we're pushing through, and in their minds, of course, they're not making the right choices because they're getting kicked out of school and, you know, but in their minds, if they just barely get this done and get through it, then they're getting the same high school diploma as a kid who did.
Spend every day.
Yeah.
So then people say, hey, that you know, so let's look at two different ways. I'll play the devil advocate. Is, yeah, first it's bullshit. All right. But the other part of it is the kid who's coming every day is still really learning, and in the end, they're going to benefit.
Oh, no. I agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But and the other kids, here's the problem.
But there's no discipline for the kid not.
Right. When I was a kid, you guys
just learn.
When I was in high school, this ain't that long ago. I graduated in 87, made this a long time ago. Yeah, if you got suspended, you got zeros.
Oh, yeah.
And zeros for that. And that meant that if you missed a test, your ass got a zero.
Yeah.
So now your grade drops. Guess what? You may not pass this time.
Yeah. That's a good, yeah. Because I agree, school's not for everybody. And as a teacher, I know that. And there's things in place to help kids catch up. And sometimes you do have to.
Sure. There's learning disabilities, there's all kinds of things.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be lenient, but.
I'm not saying that either.
But I will say that there is no, at least wherever I've worked, there is no such thing as a zero, really.
Well, here's the thing.
You can give a kid, they can fail a test and they have a chance to retake it. And after that, they have a chance to make up extra assignments. And
right. Okay.
Like, well, they don't know what failure
yeah,
is.
Not, yeah. Well, that's tough.
When I was in school, we had that.
Yeah, you fail. Yeah, and you may have to go. Guess what? You may have to repeat grade or go to summer school.
Which they still have, but again, I do think it's
they're pushing people through. Look at the literacy rates and all that.
They're trying to check boxes to get kids. Yeah,
you got kids graduate school, high school that can't read. Okay, that's a fucking joke. How the hell did they make it through high school? How did they make it through middle school? How did they make it through elementary school? All right, but now we're just kind of jumping. But if you just summed it up. Kids don't know failure. Guess what? In real life, there is failure.
Yep.
You know, and will society carry people who fail? How long can it maintain that cycle? And how long are the people that are putting in all the work gonna pay for it?
Yeah.
That's the problem, you know. So the best we can do is this. Start with ourselves. Start holding yourself personally accountable mm-hmm. for the dumb shit that you do. And then be honest with yourself. People lie to themselves all day and then they come out. I just feel like in the middle of the night, I'll wake up If I do anything right, I wake up and I'm happy, man. I'll pet the kitten and roll back over and give your mom a kiss or shake her a little bit because she's snoring. Like, all right, knock that shit off so I can sleep. And then I go back to sleep.
But if there's something that's on your mind?
Yeah, if I did something stupid or fucked up, guess what? I wake up in the middle of the night and then like a panic attack. And I'm like, fuck, man.
Or you dream about it.
Yeah, because guess what? You know what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
And we all know what's right and wrong. We all know if we're not doing the shit we're supposed to be doing. And instead of getting on Facebook and crying about, like, you know, the world doesn't like me, you know, or, you know, they put on some fucking meme about how cruel the world is, because the world is cruel. But what have you done that was right lately?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Jesus says. You know, they're about to stone a lady who committed adultery in that pit. And Jesus jumps in there with her and he's like, hey, the sinless among you can cast the first stone.
Yep.
May the sinless among you cast the first stone.
Yep.
And guess what happened? They all dropped their shit and walked away.
Yeah. Everybody has their demons.
Right. And the other good way one is, and there's so many of them, is, I mean, this stuff, man, is unbelievable, really. But, yeah, don't judge the speck in my eye until you judge the log in your own. Hmm. Yeah, that's from Jesus, too. But, I mean, it's and that, I just want to say this real quick. Everybody's like, you know, in the name of religion, and religion's taking a bad hit lately because people don't, well, there's different denominations and all that. I understand that. But my view of it is you have your own personal relationship with whatever your higher power is, right? And I just think that if Jesus came and, you know, we got all these differences and these people are creating these differences, so we will fight among ourselves. But just remember this. If the higher power comes in whatever form, you think he's really worried about? He already knows everything about us.
Yep.
He knows, and he knows we're human, we're going to make mistakes. But do you think he's worried about if you're LGBT or whatever, or I'm, you know, Black Lives Matter, or I'm, you know, whatever.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of another white thing. I don't want to say the KKK because obviously that's hatred. But let's say I'm part of like, it used to be the Tea Party where they're trying to like push conservative ideas, you know, and we're all sitting here arguing with each other. It would be like he would come down and say, hey, all you have this one thing, same thing in common. Right?
Yeah.
That we're human.
Yep.
And you've bought into all the bullshit to separate you, but in the end, we're all the same anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's what would happen.
Yeah.
Even the bastard in the KKK, I bet if you ran it back to his life, he probably was raised a certain way and brainwashed by some psychopath.
Yeah.
People aren't born to hate, is my point, at any level. I'm not defending the KKK. You know, this is the end of the podcast. I'm saying is people aren't born evil. That somebody messed that kid up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for who God only knows, but we could use that for anything. Any kind of hate that exists in the world generally is coming from another person. So then somebody would say, well, is there a chance that somebody could be born evil? You know, I wish I knew the answer, but I don't think so. Do people have more propensity to be violent? Possibly. Just like people have propensity to have high blood pressure or anxiety or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But I mean, we know.
There's no way to know.
Yeah, no way to know. But I mean, obviously, if you're raised by a group of racists, more likely you're going to be a racist.
Yeah. Yeah, but.
By any race. I don't care what color you are. Racist to me in all genders and races of people.
Yeah, it's all.
Learned behavior.
Social and learned.
But in the end, if the man himself came down, I think it would be based upon love and forgiveness, and let's move on.
Yep. I agree.
That's the real part about it. I think people would be ashamed if that did happen, of the things that they say and the way they treat other people, and if they had to answer for those things, they knew they were going to answer for it.
Mm-hmm.
To whatever their higher power is. I mean, legitimately answer for, we'd all be like, oh shit.
Yeah, I know. They go into the principal's office.
Yeah. But how about the creator himself? You'd be like, oh wow. I wouldn't want to. I mean, that's where I try. I mean, my goal has been lately is just be honest, man.
Yeah.
Lead a truthful life.
Yeah.
and it's not lately. I mean, it's been, you know, within some years, and it's been for a lot of reasons. But whatever it is for the better.
Yeah. The honesty always makes it easier to.
Yeah, just be honest. I mean, you know, as much as you can, or at least don't lie. That's the other part.
You can lie a little bit. White lies are all right.
Yeah, I mean,
if you bend the truth.
Try not to hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you got a friend who's a goofball, and they're like, you know, they're doing all these crazy things, and you're trying to not crush them, so you're trying to bring them along.
Yeah.
And help them out.
Bend the truth.
Bend the truth. Kind of kills everything we're talking about.
Bye-bye. I don't know. I mean, you know, if your significant other is like, do I look fat?
Hell no.
Does this dress look bad on me?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's 100%.
That's all. I mean, if you have to lie.
That's the time to lie.
Yeah.
But you got you got a hot wife. You got a beautiful wife. I should say, yeah, it's hot. That sounds bad. It's a father saying that about his daughter, but daughter-in-law. You got a beautiful wife.
Yeah.
And most guys, you know, whatever. All right. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
You got a beautiful, attractive wife.
I do.
She does not look fat. She's beautiful, and she's a beautiful person.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And even if she wasn't, I'm sticking to it. But she is anyway. But yeah. And so is my wife. And so. Damn.
That was a bunch of stuff in one.
Fuck it. We'll get better at it. But look, the other part is not everybody has that either.
I know. As long as you got to tell that white lie, man.
Oof, bruh.
Hey, sorry.
If you get married, just try to.
Everybody needs to be loved.
Well, when you get married, there's a responsibility to each other. Try to be your best. Try to look your best. Try to maintain, you know.
That's what, yeah, being honest with yourself.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about
being the best for yourself too.
Well, if you're the best and you're healthy with yourself, then you're happy with yourself, you're happy with other people. If you're pissed off at yourself all the time, you're probably pissed off at other people.
Oh yeah, see that all the time.
Yeah, the other thing I think we should say is, you know, if you watch the show, I know. So it's funny because I know a lot of haters watch the show. You know,
mm-hmm.
They want to see if, like, you know, what are they going to say about me? And it's probably more about me than you, because you're like, to me, you're like the peacemaker, man. Like we just talked about at the river recently. But a lot of people watch this, you know, they like the show. I've had people reach out, and we do have a lot of people lined up to come on. But the other part is people like to watch it just out of pure hate, and it pisses them off, right?
I don't know.
But anyway, what I want to say to them is just go on Facebook or YouTube and like the show and follow it. We can't see who you are. Don't make a shit, right?
Yeah, we can.
Can we? Yes. I can't see the shit.
Oh, yeah, you can see.
Even on YouTube?
Oh, actually, no, you're right. On YouTube, you can't see. I thought you meant on Facebook.
Oh, maybe Facebook. Yeah, I'm talking about YouTube. You can't see who likes or follows the show. But, yeah, just do it because – you know, we might have, you know, several hundred people watch the show. We got, like, you know, not that many people that follow the show or like it. Yeah, just do that.
Subscribe.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Like and subscribe. That helps.
Yeah, just help us. I mean, I don't know. That's not the only reason we're doing it, but it is. I don't know. I guess I'm in a way, I'm caught up in the social media shit in that way.
There you go.
I'm hooked on the shit, too.
Be honest with yourself. You're being honest with yourself.
Yeah,
you're hooked on it, man. That's with anything, though. Damn. There's always going to be more views and likes. You can look at the top YouTuber, and they're going to be like and subscribe. That's how they always always end it.
Like the Sean Ryan show, he always says that. He starts with that. Do me a favor. Yeah. Like and subscribe. And then the other part is make some comments and suggestions. And, you know, we want to figure out ways to do some giveaways. We got some new cups out, man. New design. We want to get some hats made.
And any, like we're talking about having a topic for each show, and if you have any specific topics you want us to delve into, that'd be cool too. Even if it's just a question.
Yeah, you know.
Throw some questions in at the end.
And, you know, or comments, you know. If you're a hater, throw some hate out.
Yeah, give us some, if you have some advice, man. We either take it or we'll leave it.
Yeah, we might do both.
Constructive criticism.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we called it when I was in music school. We got told how bad we sounded or played. It was all constructive criticism.
It's a nice way of saying, yeah, that didn't go well. Yeah, you suck.
No, I always took it good. Was a way to improve.
Yeah, and let me say this. So if somebody listens, and I did ask one guy, but what would be nice for me is like have a pastor or a minister of a church come on. Because a lot of questions people have about, you know, why would God let this happen? Why would these things happen? And I don't think I'm qualified to answer those questions, you know. And it would be nice to have somebody on. And there is a guy that he's a cop, but he's pretty versed in the Bible. Like, I'm trying to get him on here too. He actually wants to come on. So that'd be cool. Maybe he could do that as well.
Yeah, I think so. That'd be awesome.
And then I would say, well, what if you're an atheist and you want to come on and discuss that? I guess we should offer that up too.
Yeah.
Or agnostic or whatever.
Everybody.
And then I know somebody wants to come on and talk about witchcraft. But I don't know if that's kosher or not.
Hey, we accept it all.
So you're not worried about that?
Witchcraft?
Yeah.
Nah. We got a wizard, too.
So I can't
say it, but I hate myself.
Tommy? Is he a wizard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering. And then we got to end it here, I guess. But I just don't want some hex put on me or some shit.
Nah, you'd be all right. As long as you don't, like, well, sit there and try to argue with the witch.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is, like, here's my biggest thing about religion. I do want to say this, is I respect everybody's religion. So, I mean, if you're a witch and you believe in that, or you believe in, like, you know, when I was in Petersburg, they used to practice roots. Mm-hmm. I never joke around about that kind of stuff. Mm-mm. Or voodoo, because I'm just like, bro, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to get – I respect it in a way, and I fear it in a way, too.
Oh, yeah. Which, yeah, fear is a level of respect.
Yeah. So, like, I'll just say this real quick story. So, I was a brand new cop. And back then, it was like, if you can make an arrest, particularly drug arrest, that was how you were measured, by the amount of arrest you made a night, not community contacts. You know, the things have changed. Mm-hmm. And so you had to hone in your skills for getting consent searches or searches after an arrest. So I remember this guy, he works in Prince George now, still Earl Crawford. He's a car, we need to get him in here, law dog. and we went to the academy together, and I found like this bag of marijuana, and I checked the other pocket, it was this bulge. I was like, fuck, man, that's a crack cocaine. Well, I got this mug, you know.
Yeah.
I already had the weed, now I'm going for the crack. And I pull it out, and it's like this thing, like some kind of bone or some like actual roots and some kind of liquid in there.
You're like, nope.
I was like, what the fuck is that? And the man said, that's my root bag. And I was like, and Earl busts out laughing. Because, you know, he's a black guy. And I was like, what the fuck is a root bag? Because that's like, you know, like voodoo type black magic or something. I'm like, bro, fuck that.
Nope.
So I said, you want this drug arrest? And Earl's like, I'll take it. I'm like, fuck it. You take it, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't want nothing to do with it, man.
When you black magic put on you,
bro, I love this. You can have this arrest, dude. I'm done. Fuck this. That's hilarious. That either. Shit, man. I wanted to wash my hand like 15 times, man. Shit was crazy, bro.
Germaphobe.
Oh, God. How long has this fucking thing lasted?
I don't know. At least an hour. I think that thing went off twice.
Yeah, we're sitting here yawning, but man, we both worked all day too.
Mm-hmm.
We usually shoot this thing after work every time we do it.
I know. To give you all the context, it's 9:30 p.m.
Bop.
Hey, but we gotta get it done.
Yeah. So,
if you made it this far,
if you haven't clicked off yet,
our plans for the future ones will be a lot more specific and. What? No, it is.
I'm laughing at this one. God damn.
But yeah, more specific and a little shorter, probably. I don't know. I don't think the length really matters. But
here's the problem. If you're an expert on something, come on the fucking show and debate us.
You're aggressive today.
I started more of a migraine and had like vertigo.
Oh, okay.
And I'm still.
You took it out on the podcast.
Yeah, but I'm still here, man. Yeah, I could. I woke up this morning at 3 a.m. to go to the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and I hadn't even got up yet. I'm laying in bed and I'm dizzy.
Mm.
That's a bad start of a day.
Yeah, at 3 a.m.?
Yeah, if you lay in bed and you roll over and the room starts spinning and you're not a drunk, you're sober, you're like, this is gonna be a bad fucking day.
Or you ain't gonna make it out of the bed.
I made it out of bed. But yeah, I'm struggling. So
I'm saying something else is going on.
Vertigo.
Never had that. I had migraines, but not. Yeah. I think I've actually had vertigo where you like the world starts spinning.
Yeah, I got that.
I don't know if I could do that. The migraine is the worst.
Yeah. Me. Yeah, they suck too. But I think it's just the weather. Who knows? I might be about to stroke out. I don't know, it might be my last episode. Jeez. And then I told mom if I stroke out, get tattoo stroke man on me, on my back.
Stroke man.
And then I want that on my tag on my car from now on. I said, if I stroke out, make sure I get the tattoo stroke man. Because I'd have to still be alive.
Oh, so you had to make it, yeah.
Yeah, I had to live through it. And then, because I won't be able to drive or nothing like that, just put that shit on my tag, too, with the handicap symbol.
Stroke, man.
Ugh. I hope people listen that long. That's probably the best part of the show right there. Stroke, man.
And now license plate of many meanings.
Now we got to apologize. Yeah, no shit. That's true in a lot of different... I'm already the stroke man in some respects. That's what happens when you get married. It's like being in the National Guard.
Yeah, what do you say better?
Once a month or 2 weeks out of the summer. That's how often you have sex. Once a month, 2 weeks out of the summer. Jesus.
That's just real though, man.
Is it?
No. Not for everybody. I hope for some people it's not. I hope they're living that La Vida Loca.
Old Rusty boy.
If Russ can get laid, anybody can get laid.
Anyway, we'll have him on too. If you're listening, Russ.
He is the stroke man.
If you're listening, Russ, you still owe me for that.
Yeah.
You still owe me for that board I replaced.
Yeah, so this man, like, all right, can we tell the story real quick? We got to go after this. So basically, you did some pro bono work to help him out. The only payment was you got to come on the podcast because a lot of ways this podcast was kind of around that whole idea of growing up on Happy Hill Road, aside from the spiritual journey of it. And that's where we got the hill. And the thing is, man, on the hill, I love that more than anything, man.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I just love I know it's on a cup and all that shit, but I mean.
I know, I was like looking at it.
Yeah, and you came up with that. And you also wrote the intro to the show, man, that musical part. Shit's badass.
I did.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, when I say on the hill, man, to me, I'm just about as proud of this as I am. Obviously being a father and all that shit, but I mean, that's about as proud as you can get and being a husband and stuff. But yeah, as far as something we've done, plus we're doing it as father and son.
I know.
Ain't nothing better than that. Fuck it.
Badass.
I kill a bitch over that name, boy.
On the hill.
Don't come down the driveway at night, it's booby trapped.
Next door, it might be.
Yeah. I used to tell people that.
That your driveway was booby trapped?
Yeah, but it might have fucking been.
Probably was.
It might be again if somebody goes too nuts on my ass. And I did, last thing, I heard this the other day. It was a guy, he was, it was on the podcast, but he was talking about his love of country, you know. And then he he was a he did over 1,000 missions either with the military and it was like as a CIA operative or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And love of country and all that. But he's like, these are all the things I did for my country. Imagine what I would do to defend my family.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's talking about how family is important.
Yeah. I remember you telling me that.
And it's kind of like, as a cop, I protected people I didn't even know. Imagine what I would do if you try to mess with my family.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm and one fucker got away with a little bit of shit, but.
Yeah. He knows what he did.
Yeah.
So he gets to live with that.
The bitch lucky to be alive, is what I'm gonna say. Should I be saying that on live TV? This ain't live TV. Yeah, and that was forgiveness.
Yep.
I literally could see.
Which would be a topic of another episode.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, that if you can't defend your own family, you ain't jack shit.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm not going to bring that up.
If you can't defend your family, you ain't jack shit.
Should I bring? Yeah, I'll say it since I've already laughed about it.
What?
I'm not gonna say who or give any kind of specific indication, but I knew somebody who was talking to a girl who told him, "I don't think you could defend me," and that's the last thing she told him.
That's a problem. Yeah. If look, here's so women. Let's just say it like this at the end.
That was a mean thing to say, but
fuck it. Who cares? Damn. He don't listen to the show. So look, I don't care if he does. You need to get your shit together. Here's a problem. Women pick the men that they are with. So if you're a woman and you're chasing a man, you're a freaking fool. If you're a woman chasing a man, you're a fool. Men chase women. And the other part is because they are the ones that have the ultimate decision over who their mate will be. That's why women have the ultimate power. Mm-hmm. And their mothers and the most important job on the planet. But with that being said, a woman doesn't want some freaking loser that can't defend her or can't provide. So if you're sitting at home feeling sorry for yourself and you're not doing the things you need to do, you need to get off your ass and start doing the things you need to do to make yourself presentable for a woman that would want to have you.
Yeah.
Am I lying?
No. I'm just laughing. You're on one tonight.
Yeah, it's like,
rested today.
Yeah, no. She's like, I can't be with you because I don't think you can defend me. Like, what the fuck? That's an all
that would turn my life around.
That's a suicide thing. I mean, don't commit suicide because you can improve. But I'm saying that would crush you to the core.
Oh, I'd be you'd be in devastated. The gym 8 hours a day, bro.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, hey, tell you what, what's the
that's like a villain story right there.
Yeah, that's just like you just cut. Yeah, you just remember in Shrek, you cut me deep.
Cut me deep, Shrek. Cut me deep.
You tell a man they don't think you can defend them. And that bitch just stands there like with his penis in his hand crying. You need to step up, bro. Step the fuck. I mean, that should have been a wake-up call.
Yeah, should have been.
Has a person made any significant changes?
Hell no.
Bro. God dang.
All right. Got to wrap it up on that, I guess.
You're not going to cut this part out, are you?
No, I can cut it up.
You're the editor-in-chief. Yeah, I mean, I just say, just be honest with yourself, man. Put down the video game. Put down the beer bottle.
In moderation.
And get your shit right.
Get to the gym. Read something. I think every night you should, when you're going through everything in your head, think of something positive that happened that day.
Right. Damn, man, you're a pretty smart guy.
That's what I do.
Who the fuck raised you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Some stud.
Fuck. Don't forget your mom had a lot to do with it. She's by the bad. And this is be real. I do want to say this. And this is real talk. One of the baddest motherfuckers I know is your mom.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Everything she's been through and she's still kicking ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's be real. But here's the part people don't know. She's always been that much of a badass.
Mm-hmm.
And also it got a heart of gold. Mm. Put it with my dumb ass.
Yeah.
That's God's honest truth. I mean, I can't be more honest than that. But, yeah, men think they're tough. Women give birth. Women go through all these things. And you know, because Shelly's been through cancer and stuff. Let me tell you something, bro. She never let up.
Nope.
It's like that thing with Jordan Peterson. I do want to end it with this. Is his wife had cancer, too. And this is, she said that at the talk we saw at the Altria. And essentially she said that she had gotten a diagnosis that she wasn't going to make it. And she was resigned on the fact that she was going to die of this particular type of cancer. This is Jordan Peterson's wife.
Yeah.
And then she went home to tell her son the diagnosis and that, you know, she was more likely going to die of cancer. And then when she saw the love and affection that her son had for her,
mm-hmm.
she knew her life was worth living. And she also knew that moment that it wasn't up to the doctor whether she lived or died. It was up to God when she lived or died.
Yep. It's deep.
That's powerful, Jack. That's powerful.
You want to end it on that?
That was beautiful, man.
I know. That was the highlight of the show right there.
I thought that was that particularly because of everything your mom been through, but I think it would move everybody in the crowd.
Yeah.
I think people were – she was pretty cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
Men ain't shit without women. Straight up. All right.
Well, like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, Instagram. You can watch us on YouTube. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, send us some info, man. And we'll give you a free coffee cup, maybe a hat when we get them made.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace out.
Thank you for listening to On the Hill. Like, subscribe, and follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts. See ya.